Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening for everybody tuning in today. This is Intuitive Awakening, and my name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate your ears listening to this podcast and any comments along the way. So let's talk today about a new topic. I will finish up one of my stories from last episode towards the end of this podcast. However, I wanted to ask this one question today that was kind of, I guess you can say, asked of me a while ago. And I think this is a very important conversation to have, especially if you were raised the way I was raised. So today's topic is going to be, what is God? This is a huge conversation, and I could probably invite several people on and I would get several different answers. And I could probably do 20 different episodes about this topic, but I think I'd like to revisit it again with guests later on. So why am I talking about what is God today? There is an actual reason. So, and I'm going to finish my story from last time at the end of this, but I told you at the end of the last podcast that I was carrying a really, really big secret with me my whole life. And it was a really hard secret to carry, especially being Christian. It conflicted with my beliefs, etc. Now, the reason we're asking what is God is because if you were, again, raised like me, and I'm not saying Catholic, I'm saying like, if we just put it out there, like Black Christian in the South, then you have a very different belief and a viewpoint of what that is. So, going back to the church and my experience, God for me was angry. A very angry, a very vengeful, a very frightening, selfish, cruel, well, person. I thought God was a person because in every sermon and in every, let's say exhibit of God, God's a white man who has blue eyes and beautiful long blonde hair, right? Jesus being God, the same thing, right? All one. But Jesus was friendly, so that's a very different view of God, and we'll talk about that shortly. So God for me, you know, I'd read all these stories in the Old Testament, testing Job, etc., and giving him these horrible boils, killing off his kids. It was just terrible. Like, God just seems so mean. And I was very, very scared of God. I was scared of God because I couldn't get saved. This is picking up from last week. I never really got saved. Let's just keep it real here at the beginning of this podcast. I never got saved in the way that I was supposed to. So, as I said last time, getting saved is demonstrated in a few ways. So in many Christian churches in the South, when you're saved, you exhibit it either through getting, you know, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Ghost takes over your body. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same thing, conflated term, really. And the Holy Ghost takes over your body and everybody sees it because it's like, it can be, I guess, akin to uncontrollable seizing, dancing, celebration in some capacity, right? That has never happened to me. The second and most profound way, I think, of demonstrating that you have been saved is by speaking in tongues. And, you know, in many movies, I've seen it exaggerated, and a lot of people don't believe it. But for me, it was very real to watch because I'd seen it for many years. It was something that I had hoped to experience, but also something that scared me deeply because it was a totally new language, and I didn't know what was being said. And I always wondered, did the person who was being, you know, saved at that moment, when they were talking to God in his language, did they know what he was saying to them? I've always, you know, even now, I still kind of wonder, like, what is it to speak in tongues? What is it for you to communicate with God at that level? At least that was something that has been on my mind, or at least it was for many, many years, because I didn't understand it. But I knew that I had to have it. I knew that it needed to happen to me, you know, because of my belief of who and what God was. And I'm sure, like many of you, the idea of burning in hell for eternity, number one, we can't even digest what eternity is. We only know about 80 years of life, right? Time. But the idea of my flesh burning off my bones and, again, not having any water to drink was really hard and so frightening that, again, I really needed to get saved. And I remember, and I won't tell too many details of this story, but I remember my stepsister got saved when I think I was 15, 16 years old, and we were at some sort of church concert in San Antonio, Texas at the time. And I remember she actually got the Holy Ghost when some sort of, I can't remember who was, what concert we were at, but it was a church biblical, huge, like, concert extravaganza thing. And I remember she got the Holy Ghost, and I remember watching, and I remember my stepmom being there with her, you know, helping her to calm down because, you know, she was doing the James Brown dance. And I don't know if my stepmom was embarrassed at all. I have no idea. But for me, it was in a moment of awe because my sister, not the older one who is the black sheep, who I'm the closest with and who I love so much, my other sister got the Holy Ghost. She got saved. Oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. And she wasn't even trying, you know, and that really frustrated me because I felt like I made the testimonies. I've been anointed. I've been dunked in the water several times. And yet Jesus is turning a blind eye. And it was frustrating. Yet my other sister, boom, in an instant, in a flash, was saved. So I wondered what that meant for her, because at the time, I believe she was 16. And I wondered what that was going to be like for her for the rest of her life, because now she was anointed. And she knew that Jesus, when he came back, he's coming for her too. And it's going to be fantastic, from my understanding. And I couldn't understand why somebody like me, somebody who followed all the rules, didn't talk back, you know, was pretty good, pretty good person all around. At least I thought so at the time. But then I got older and got bad. That's another story. Why Jesus still just turned, you know, wasn't looking at me. It was very, very tough. And I obviously, though, growing up in a church, my understanding was that you have to keep trying. You have to keep trying to get saved. But then there was something fundamentally wrong with you. You know, were you just a dark spirit? Were you being possessed with a dark spirit? You keep trying until Jesus recognizes you. And I remember this woman at our church during one night, and I can't remember if this was revival. I feel like this was a night of revival, and I could really be wrong. If it wasn't revival, it was New Year's Eve service. And by the way, let me just state that both of those celebrations are rough goings if you're in the South, because if you're young, even if you're older, but if you're young and you have other priorities, like, I don't know, watching 16 Candles or something, reading a romance book, or I don't know, wanting to just be out with a boy. The idea of being at church for an entire day through the evening till God knows what time in the morning during revival or during New Year's just really sucked. It felt like it was really hard. I remember, it was probably, my sister probably remembers this better than me. I think it was a New Year's Eve service. So we would go to church for New Year's Eve service, which I believe lasted all the way through the next day, believe it or not. So sometimes we were at church like forever in a day. And I remember for New Year's Eve service, this one woman was trying to get saved, and she was really feeling it. And I remember I tried that day too, but I was unsuccessful. So I went to go sit back down to my horrible, you know, black sheep sister who had absolutely no interest in that. Like she knew she was going to be all right in some way. I felt like she had some sort of secret get out of jail free card in her back pocket that I just didn't know about. So I remember this one lady. I don't remember her name, though. She was taller than me, and I'm 5'8", long black hair. She was very pretty. And I remember she was desperately, desperately trying to get saved that night. I'll never forget it because they baptized her, and in this, it looked similar to a dunk tank, but it seemed more like a wine barrel of water. And they dunked her in, and mind you, again, this is a very small, small church with not a lot of supplies, so I'm giving you the actual details of what I saw and what really happened. And I remember she was baptized, and then she was prayed over by three people when they laid hands on her. And I should deviate for a second to explain what that means. So laying hands, dun 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 dun, laying hands is an old Christian practice where certain people in the church have been gifted, let's say, the gift of healing, whereby God's healing powers, for lack of a better word, runs through you, and you thus lay hands to transmit that healing power into someone else, right? Does this sound familiar to a lot of New Agers? Yes, I believe it does, and we'll talk about that another day. But so while this woman was up there trying to get saved, three people laid hands on her. You know, of course, they anointed her forehead first with canola oil, with the cross, and they were praying over her forever. And I mean, it was so long. I think I was like falling asleep at that point because she was not expressing the Holy Ghost and she wasn't speaking in tongues. And they weren't about to give up, though. That's the thing. They had no intentions of giving up on this woman because she was in desperation to know that she was going to be saved by Jesus. And she wanted to know that she was part of Jesus's crew, right? Part of the saved souls. And the sad part is, I cannot remember whether or not she was saved because we were there for so long. I remember my black sheep sister asked if we could go sit in the van because we were so tired. I don't know if we had to get up to go to school the next day, but it was like we had been at church. It felt like 12, 13 hours at the very least. And I remember going with my sister to go in the back of the van, and I think we were like dozing off or laughing and talking, but we were back there so dang long. It was crazy. And all of this, and I've always asked myself, all of this because of what? Why are we going through this? What's the reasoning behind the madness? What's the reasoning behind the fear? Why did Jesus save some and not the others? This is always, you know, these are bigger conversations to have, but, you know, obviously as a younger person with not as much life experience as I hold now, I really wondered back then because I was just terrified of living because I knew what was going to, you know, happen after I died. And, you know, thus was my life. So getting back to this idea of God, what is God then? What is God? That's such a big, question. But for me, you know, going through church, I really believe that God was this man who was angry, very vengeful, and I guess also very selective about people. Because again, Jesus, you know, I couldn't get saved. So Jesus, God, didn't want me at all. So that belief, that feeling was really, it was very soul crushing because I felt like a failure on many levels. And I didn't know how else to go about it. I didn't know how I was going to get what my sister had. How did she get it? And I couldn't. You know, I really struggled with these beliefs as I was growing up. I really couldn't understand it. Now, in terms of what is God and why this conversation today is important, it is important because of the secret that I was carrying growing up. So let's go back to the podcast from last week. So as I told you, growing up in the church, you know, I really believed that I needed to be part of Jesus's crew. I needed to be saved, etc. And I believed that there was a devil, and I believed that there was good and evil. I believed in all of it, completely, literally. However, the dark, dark, dark secret that I was carrying, unfortunately, growing up for a very, very long time, was that when I would go to bed at night, I could hear spirits. Now, I didn't know they were spirits, okay, at the time. I know this now. But growing up, I thought it was the devil. I really, really, really believed it was the devil. No one could have told me any different. When I would go to bed at night, I would hear spirits call my name. I would hear some spirits laugh. I would hear some spirits talk. And it was unbelievably terrifying because, again, I didn't think they were spirits. I thought it was the devil and his minions playing tricks on me. And this, in my mind, solidified the fact that Jesus really didn't want me because of even this. And I couldn't tell anybody. I wasn't really close with my family. And I definitely didn't want to say it for a multitude of reasons. The first one being that, I had to wrestle with the idea that maybe I was actually freaking crazy. Maybe I was schizophrenic at some level. Maybe I was just totally insane and I was afraid to tell anybody because they could lock me up, put me in an asylum, etc. So, of course, I wasn't going to share any of that. However, I was struggling because I also couldn't understand why I couldn't get saved by Jesus, but yet I was hearing the devil at night. And I was doing everything within my power to go to church, to sing, to pray, everything. And I couldn't understand why I thought the devil was targeting me. And, initially, I have to say, I thought my sisters were playing tricks on me at night because sometimes they did, being mischievous. But I was in my room alone many nights hearing these voices, and I was so scared. I was so scared. I would put the pillow over my head, under the sheets, under blankets, praying intensely, sweating so bad, praying to God, asking God, please make it stop. Make it stop, make it stop. Asking why the devil was after me. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know why. And then I thought, "Oh, this is why Jesus hates me." This is why Jesus doesn't want me. I'm already part of the devil's crew now, and I really believed that, and I was dreaming it. I was having nightmares about it. I had not one clue at the time that it was a gift from God, this evil, mean, soul-crushingly mean, cruel God, that this was something that was gifted to myself and many others on this planet, I should say. To help other people, but I did not know it at the time. I really was trying to figure out how, to make it stop and how to get saved. And this was a really deep, dark secret that I kept because, again, I couldn't share it and I didn't understand it. I never, not for once ever, believed that I should consult a psychic, a healer. A palm reader, fortune teller, never really crossed my mind because growing up, again, going to church, we were taught very deeply, especially in the Old Testament, that fortune tellers and necromancers, and you read about this in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, like how these types of people, if you will, are again, like they have these secret pacts with the devil, and that no one was to consult them for anything because they were already condemned. Right? They're evil. They're a part of Satan's crew. And I believed it. I believed that very deeply as well. You don't go seek tarot card readers. Don't ever have anybody read your palm. There's no such thing as psychics. And if so, they all have this secret, sacred pact with the devil. And to sum it up, they're all doing witchcraft. This is like an all-encompassing term for everything that is outside of the church, essentially. And I believed it. I totally believed it. So I never would have ever consulted beyond, anyone beyond the church because I knew it was quote unquote wrong. At least I believed it was wrong. So I was carrying this horrible secret for eternity. That's what it felt like. I couldn't tell even my black sheep sister. even though I think she was holding on to her secrets of seeing spirits. And I'm the one who's hearing spirits, and it was a very torturous time for me growing up. And I never asked who was there, except for one time. Only once did I have the courage to ask who it was, because I believe that if I asked, it was going to be the devil saying hello back to me. I totally believe that the devil was going to laugh at me. He was going to try to possess my soul, spin my head, and then I would throw up all over the place because that's what I saw in The Exorcist. I really believed that. And I just did not want that experience whatsoever. So I didn't bother to ask. I just tried to keep myself protected as I slept. However, there was one intense episode. Only one time did I have the courage to really ask, who's there? Now, I wouldn't say it was out of courage. It was out of unbelievable fear that I asked. It was like a knee-jerk reaction. So one night, I was sleeping in my bedroom. And for many of you who are intuitives, most of you probably slept with a nightlight on, and so did I. I never slept in the dark. Ever. I was just too scared out of my mind all of the time. And my sister and her boyfriend were downstairs watching a movie, and my parents were asleep, and I was in the bedroom, and it was actually pitch black, and I was asleep, which is just totally bizarre because I remember it was pitch black because when I woke up, there was no light in the room. So I thought that was really strange. So I remember I was sleeping, I think I was 14 at the time, and in deep sleep, and then there was a noise. Now, this noise is not like anything I've ever heard, even unto this day, and it was so scary, and I mean, holy crap, scary. I knew everybody heard it in the house. There's no way that nobody heard that, I thought. So I heard a voice call my name. Now, this voice was so loud, it literally shook the house. I felt like the house came off of its foundation. It felt like an earthquake. My room shook, my bed shook. It was so loud, I knew everybody heard this voice. There's just absolutely, it's inconceivable to think otherwise. Now, after I heard it yell my name, and it was a male voice, it was like thunder, I sat up from the bed. I was so unbelievably scared, I almost pissed myself. And I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was having a heart attack, and I grabbed my chest and I was like, "Yes, yes, who's there? Yes, yes." And I was shaking so bad. I looked around the room. There was nobody there. I literally ran for the door and I ran all the way down the damn stairs. I ran so fast. But I knew everybody heard it. I just knew it. And I ran to see my sister, my black sheep sister, who I love to death. And she was sitting on the couch. Her boyfriend was in the bathroom. And I looked at her. And I was out of breath. And I asked her, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" And she just looked at me calmly. She was like, "No, I didn't hear anything." And I expected everybody in the household to be awake. Everyone was going to be awake. Of course they were. It was like an earthquake. Didn't everybody hear that crazy voice? Nobody heard it. Nobody felt anything. Nothing. Now, when that happened, I definitely did not go back to bed that night, but I was so, no one could have told me that that was not the devil himself. No one could have told me ever, ever. Because at that point, I knew my fate was sealed. I knew that was it. There was no hope for me. I was just condemned. The devil was there and he made his presence known to me. That experience was, I would say even to date, was the most insane experience I think I've ever had. I thought it was the devil then. I know what it is now, but I know that that voice was getting my attention because was doing whatever it could, let's say, to get my attention, because all those years I could hear spirits, but yet I was so afraid. I was trying to pretend like they weren't there. I was trying to pretend that the devil really wasn't there under my bed, calling my name by my ear when I had the pillow over my head. I was really trying to pretend that none of that existed, but from that point on, I knew he was real. Again, And it just made me want to go to church even more. It made me want to like throw the entire anointed bottle of canola oil all over my head. It made me want to pray for even longer. It was just that point really shifted me because I knew that there was really literally no hope for me at that point. So after that experience, I never got saved. I should just say that again. I never got saved. Not that way. Not the way I thought. Not the Jesus, you know, black Christian way. There was no Holy Ghost, no dancing, no speaking of tongues. I mean, I still went up and I still gave testimony, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And I was so scared at night to go back to bed because I thought that voice was going to be there. And to be honest, that voice never came back. It never came back that way. I'll put it like that. It has never come back that way. It has come back, but nothing like that. I've never had anything where I felt a house shake when somebody spoke to me. And I didn't know it then. What I know now is that it was my official wake-up call to do what I'm supposed to do. And to not be so afraid, but how could I not be so afraid when the devil was like hanging out with me in my bedroom at night? So for most of you who are already in the New Age community, you already have an idea where this is going. And you've probably had some extremely similar experiences or even more terrifying experiences. Now, hearing spirits is one thing. Seeing them is different. I did not have that ability then. I couldn't see spirits at all. And you know what? I'm actually really grateful that I couldn't see any spirits because I think that with the voices would have just like killed me dead in my tracks. I already had enough fear for like the entire planet. So I was very grateful for that. But hearing spirits is definitely it's very tough because number one, even in the Bible, you're told to test the spirits. And that is true to this day for any practicing medium, anybody who's clairaudient, anybody who has that particular quote unquote gift to hear all the spirits. And I mean all, meaning good, bad, just dissonant voices, right? So for any of you who have had this experience growing up, hearing little whispers in the halls, hearing somebody repeatedly call your name, know that it is not the devil. These are spirits. You have the ability to hear spirit. It is something given to you as a gift, if you will. It is an ability, and you're not given this gift because you are special. It was something that you opted for prior to your incarnation here onto planet Earth. It is something that you have within your soul. It is just one of your many abilities that we all encompass here. However, for some, it's stronger. This could be because of previous lifetimes where you've developed it. It could just be something that God gave to you to use it here to help other people. So for those of you who grew up hearing voices, hearing your name called, specifically hearing your name called, know that it's because you have the gift of hearing. In the New Age community, many psychics will tell you that's called clairaudience, which means clear hearing. I even use that term, which means you have the ability to either hear your guides, hear the deceased, to hear angels, archangels, to hear all kinds of spirits. However, your job, if you so choose it, is to learn how to discern between the spirits to help other people, which is you know, tricky for the emerging psychic, if you will, or the emerging intuitive, in our case. So that's something that I experienced growing up, and obviously many moons later, I learned what it was and I developed it, and that will be many stories that I share later, and what it took from me as a Christian to get to that point of accepting that. So in terms of what I asked at the beginning of this podcast is, what is God? The reason I brought that up is because of the secret that I had. I really couldn't understand how, if I was a good Christian girl and I followed all the rules and I prayed and I was trying to get saved and I praised Jesus, how it is that God, this God, would allow the devil to take me. How it is that God would allow the devil to just have my soul outright, even though I was following all the commandments, I was doing everything right. And it's the fundamental error is my perception of what God was. I believed God was cruel, that God was selective, that God was not all loving, not all forgiving. And so this was kind of punishment for me, and I believe that God was very, very much so a punishing individual. And it was very heartbreaking in a sense, because I already knew that I was a sinner, but I was trying so hard, yet he allowed for the devil to chase me with chase me at night and then terrorize me as well. It was very difficult to reconcile what was happening to me with what I was trying to do and who I was. So I'm going to leave the story there. And I want to say thank you so much for listening to my little voice on this podcast. I realize it can get monotonous at times with just one person. And my hope is to bring on a lot of guests, a lot of people that I know, and share their own experiences. But I just kind of wanted to end this by saying that if you can relate to this story, I'm very happy, because I'm so glad that I'm at a point in my life that I can tell these stories and let it be helpful for somebody else, because I wish that I would have had that growing up. I had some very tough lessons. But also, I kind of invite you to explore even your own individual perceptions of what God is and why you believe what God is and who taught you that, and to go on your own individual journey. Anyway, everybody, I'm going to end this podcast because I believe it's been 30 minutes, and I think I will be... it'll get a little boring because of my voice after 30 minutes. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me at infinitesupply.org and all things spiritual on YouTube. Everybody have a great and blessed week. Take care.